2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you will. We're starting at verse 12 and reading down through verse 18. Several days ago, as I was reading through 2 Corinthians and finishing up there, I was reading through chapter 10, and I just took some notes and put it inside of my Bible, but I've been thinking about that the last several days, and so I just wrote out some thoughts as it pertains to the scripture here, and I want to speak this evening on the subject of living up to our measure. Living up to our measure. The Apostle Paul is going to talk about comparing himself or others comparing themselves among themselves and how that's not wise. And as Christians, we know that. And we're good with that. In other words, if another church is being blessed of God or another Christian is being blessed of God or a Christian businessman is being blessed of God or a Christian layman is being blessed of God, we're good with that. Praise God. Amen. We don't think, it should have been me. No, that's not how we think. We think, I'm happy for them. Praise God for them. Because we know that we're not all the same. We don't have all the same gifts. We don't have all the same abilities. We don't have all the same callings of God on our life. We all have diversity of callings and gifts and attributes and potential and all of those things. The reality is we're not trying to do or accomplish what some other Christian does. We're not trying to do that. But what we ought to be trying to do is to do and accomplish what God wants us to do. See, so it's so easy to look at someone who's being greatly blessed of God or gets a promotion at work or their church grows in some special way or they other ministries or other people or things do something and we say, wow. Well, we're not jealous of that. But every church, every ministry, every Christian ought to do the best they can do. Amen. And so sometimes, if we're not careful, what we have is we have a lot of Christians who are admirers of what God's doing in other places and in other people. When that is wonderful, except if all we do is become admirers, we never accomplish what God chose us to do, right? Amen. So in other words, every one of us should put forth our best effort to accomplish God's plan for our lives, right? Everybody understand that? So we want to be the best we can be. By the way, we're not the best we can be, so we can be somebody. Because as we'll look at this passage of Scripture, we want to be the best we can be for our Savior and His mission for our lives. It's all about Jesus. It's just not about us. We want to be the best we can be for Jesus. Remember this old song. Some of you will remember. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? How many remember that song? None of the young people, but, you know, the rest of us. I wonder, have I done my best? You see, that ought to be the passion of every Christian. I want to do my best for Jesus. We're not living this life so our names are in the lights. I was talking to Dr. Dunham just before the service, and we were talking about how famous athletes, you know, 2 years later, nobody knows who they are. But what we do for the cause of Christ lasts forever and will live longer than our lives. Amen. But wait a minute. We also talked about the fact that 2 years after our lives, nobody remembers our names. But that's okay. Because it never was about us. See, it never was about us. It was always about Jesus. And that's the way it is in every believer's life. We're not living our life so that some monument has our name on it. Or some statue of us is in somebody's town hall or, you know, courthouse. No, that's not what it's about. is that Jesus Christ would be exalted in our lives. And if that's accomplished, the influence of our life will outlive us for generations until we stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ to get our rewards. So with that premise, let's look at what the Apostle Paul is trying to say to the church at Corinth. This is his second letter to them. Soon he will have his third visit to them. And notice what he says. Let's all stand if you found that passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we start at verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you, according to our rule, abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. And let's bow our heads for a quick word of prayer, and you may be seated. Father, I pray, dear Father, the word of God would have free rein among us. We know that it's blessed of you. We know that if we stay true to the word of God, it will do its work. It will not return void unto you. And Heavenly Father, we pray then that we would have open hearts to receive the word of God and let the Spirit of God speak to our hearts. Lord, since every one of us have chosen to assemble tonight, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if every one of us just opened our hearts up to the Holy Spirit and let the word of God do its work? So bless now these good people. Help us all to be focused on the truth of your word and listen to the voice of your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. One of the key words in this passage of Scripture is that word measure. That measure. And we're talking about the theme of living up to our measure. Now, we could call that potential, but that's not really what it means. It means to live up to the calling that God has on your life. And you know, God has all different callings on our life. Sometimes as a pastor, we talk about how God called us into ministry. And this morning, TJ talked about that. And he said, God called him into the ministry. And he was saying, oh no, Lord, don't do that. I can't do that. Well, I felt just the opposite. When God called me into the ministry, it was like, whoa! I can't believe it. Oh, I'm so excited. I can't believe it. I cannot believe that God would do that. Call me. I told you how I went home that day. And my mother was at the kitchen at the sink. And she was washing dishes. And I came in through the garage and into the kitchen. And I went through the door. I said, Mother. I don't call my mother Mother. I say Mom. But I said, Mother. She turned around. She looked at me. I said, Mother, I said, God has called me to preach. And she looked at me and said, that's nice, son, and went back to washing her dishes. So I said, Mama. Now that's a more personal term. Mama. If you're in the South, that's what you say. Mama. And she turned around and I said, Mom, you don't understand. God. has called me to preach. And she looked at me and she saw I was just grinning ear to ear and I was excited and I was just like, I can't believe this. And she dried her hands. She came over, gave me a big hug. And she said, I'm so happy. I said, me too. And then I thought, I don't have a clue how to do it, but I'm so happy. You see, where I grew up, we had a lot of youth camps and youth rallies and youth services, and I would have my pastor's son answer a call to preach when he was 14, and then my brother answered a call to preach when he was 14, and here I was 17, and I guess God didn't want me. You know, that's how I felt. You know, in the South, if you're not married, you're 21. Oh, I'm an old maid. No, you're not. But I felt like, well, you know, I've lived past my prime, and God never called me to preach, you know. And then when he did, it was like out of the blue. It was like, whoa, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exciting that God would call me? And I was just like, TJ, I never like to speak in front of people. But you know, when God calls you to do something, God equips you to do something. Who God calls, God equips. Who God sends, he provides. And who God needs, he feeds. God has a way of taking care of his people. And by the way, let me just add, that's not just for preaching. If God calls you to teach a Sunday school class, he'll equip you. If God calls you to sing, he'll equip you. If he calls you to play, he will equip. Whatever it is God calls you to do, he will equip you. You don't have to worry about it. All you have to do is say yes. The burden is always on God to accomplish his will in our lives. He has the resources I don't. I tell people when I go sharing my faith, I don't go like, oh, I want to see somebody saved. I guess it's all up to me. No, it's not up to me. It's up to God. The pressure's on him. He gets to use me for that hour that I'm out sharing the gospel. But it's up to him to see someone come to faith in Christ. Not up to me. I can't accomplish that. But I can be a spokesman. He can accomplish that. Now, as we look at this, we see that word measure. And notice just a few verses. In verse 12, it says, they measuring themselves by themselves. And then in verse 13, he talks about our measure. And then again, he talks about the measure. And then later in verse 13, a measure. And then in verse 14, our measure. And verse 15, our measure. And over throughout this passage, we see that one dominating word, our measure. What's that mean? It means our potential to fulfill God's calling upon our life. It means for us to do what God has gifted us to do, what God has called us to do, what God has equipped us to do. And so we want to do the very best we can for God. Why? Because he deserves it. I mean, he died for us. He saved us. We were hell bound, and now we're heaven bound. And we want to do our very best for Jesus. So let's look very quickly at this passage. As we look at living up to our measure, first of all, I want us to see the potential of a false measure. There's a potential of having a false measure in all of us. Verse 12, the Apostle Paul calls to mind to the church of Corinth. He says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Let me say, first of all, this potential of a false measure, it's a constant temptation. It's a constant temptation. I don't care if you work in a factory and someone else makes 12 parts and you're making 10, you're thinking, I want to beat them. Or you're making 10 parts and somebody else is making 8 parts, you say, I'm faster than they are. It's the human nature in us that wants to compare ourselves with someone else. It's like if you have a brand new car, you want to park it in the middle of a parking lot so nobody will scratch it. And everybody will see it. There's something about it. If we just like to compare ourselves. Hey, that's our fallen nature. That's not our new nature. But it's a constant temptation that we constantly have to battle and say, you know, that's not important. That's not important. That's not important. And sometimes it's that comparing ourselves that prevents us from congratulating other Christians when really that's exactly what we ought to do, is encourage them. The Bible says we ought to rejoice with them that rejoice. See, a lot of times we like that verse, we ought to, mourn or have sorrow with those or cry with those who cry. But it also says we ought to rejoice with those who rejoice. Nothing's worse than trying to pour cold water on someone else's blessing. Someone says, hey, I got a raise this week. And you say, oh, well, I got a Starbucks this week. You know, it was good. I had it, and you just dismiss it. Don't do that. If someone has a blessing, fan that flame. Praise God. Wow. God's blessing you. Isn't that wonderful? Wow. I bet your family was excited. I bet your wife was excited. I'm so thrilled for you. Praise the Lord. That's the way we ought to respond when another Christian gets a blessing. Amen? Amen. That's right. Let's just fan the flame. Man, God's been good to you. Praise God. I'm happy about that. We're on the same team. We serve the same Savior. If He blesses one of His children, let's be for Him. But the temptation is a constant temptation. But it's also a corrupting temptation. Because if we compare ourselves among ourselves, the Apostle Paul says, we're not wise. In other words, let me paraphrase it. He said, that's a dumb thing. That's a dumb thing. Compare ourselves among ourselves. We can't do that. You know, if we ever get in that syndrome where we want to compare ourselves among ourselves, we'll always fit in a group that we're better than. I found this out as a teenager when I was young and mobile and played basketball. I always found that I wanted to play with people I lost to. I didn't want to play with people I could beat easily. Because I understood as a teenager the only way I got better was to play people a lot better than I was. And when I played people who were a lot better, I got better. Even though I lost, I got better. And then sometimes I'd beat them. I remember the first time I met Ben Berkland. I played him and his brother, 1-on-2. And I'm sure they beat me good. I can't remember that good. But I think I won a game. But I always like to have the odds against me, because that produced more ability. And it allowed me to perform at the maximum. But if we compare ourselves among ourselves, Paul says that's dumb. I'm not living for your approval, and you're not living for my approval, and we're not living for some other Christian's approval. To our master we stand or fall. Amen? We live for an audience of one, and his name's Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you, if you live your life for Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks. Just live your life for Christ. So the potential of a false measure. And then secondly, the personalization of a true measure. Notice verse 13. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. So, in other words, the Apostle Paul says, I'm not comparing myself with how God uses other people, how God uses other apostles or evangelists or disciples. He said, but I want to compare myself with myself. I want to look at what God wants me to do. I want to focus not on what God wants you to do. I don't want to focus on how God's using you. I want to focus on how God wants to use me. And that's where our focus ought to be for every believer. What does God want to do in my life? And let me say again, don't be so mistaken to think that God only uses pastors and missionaries and evangelists and these people and those people and these gifted people and the people that sing our songs and the people that play our instruments and a few ushers. Don't think if you don't have some title in church, God can't use you. That's foolishness. God wants to use every single one of us. Amen. And what's important is that we live up to our measure. What God has called us to do. What God wants us to do. That's what's important. And that has to be our focus. And so we have to personalize that measure. Notice he says that phrase, our measure. And notice the source of the measure. It says, God hath distributed it to us in verse 13. Where do we get the gifts? Where do we get the abilities? Where do we get? It comes from God. We didn't manufacture it. So if God uses you to teach boys and girls and you do really good, it's not like, oh, I did really good. Hey, wait a minute. That came from God. That came from God. You get up and sing a song and, every note got hit just right and the music was just right and everything was good and the mic was on. Sorry about that. And the mic was on and everything was just right. And you walk off the stage going, oh, boy, that was good. Wait a minute. That was God. God did that. Because God is the one who distributes every measure that every one of us have. You say, oh, man, I went to college and I aced it. Hey, that was a God thing. You didn't come up with a brilliant mind. You didn't make that mind. God made that mind. God makes your character. God makes your circumstances. God brought things to play. God put the pieces of the puzzle together to bring out His will in your life. And we need to realize that any gift we have, that came from God. And we ought to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for any way that He could possibly use us, because you understand, we're just miserable sinners saved by grace. Man, it's a miracle that God could use any of us. And when He does, we need to understand, hey, that's a God thing. That's not us. That's the Lord. The source, God hath distributed to us. And notice the purpose of this measure. He said, God hath distributed us to reach even unto you. Why does God gift us as believers? Why does God give you any gift? For others. For others. That's why God gives you a gift. You know that every spiritual gift that God gives you is not for you to unwrap and say, oh, I love this. I got this gift. Oh, I got mercy. Woo-hoo. I got the gift of this, or I got the gift of that, and you unwrap that gift. It's not like your Christmas. Here, wait a minute, here's what it's for. You take that gift of mercy and you unwrap it. God says, I gave you a gift of mercy. You know what we're to do with that? We're to go, oh, I know somebody needs some. I want to give him some mercy. Oh, I know someone else. I want to give him some mercy. And every gift that God gives us is for others. For others. Not for ourselves. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I might live like thee. We ought to live our life for others. And so whatever your gifts are, if God has given you a gift and you can sing for His glory, it's not for your edification. It's not so people applaud you. It's for Christ. And it's to promote Jesus Christ. And if God gives you a gift of teaching or preaching or any of the spiritual gifts that are mentioned in the Scripture, it's not for our edification. It's not so our names are in the light. It's not so our name is on the flyer. It's for Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so we see the motivation or the purpose of this measure to reach even unto you. It's always about others. And then notice in verses 14 through 15, the first part, the parameters of our measure. The parameters. Notice in verse 14 he says, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure. In other words, he's saying this, I'm not trying to do stuff I'm not called to do. I'm not trying to push my measure into your measure. Brother Vessel, stand up a minute. Okay, Brother Vestal is an adult Sunday school teacher. Let's say I'm an adult Sunday school teacher. I have a measure, he has a measure. I could say, Brother Vestal, I just preached a great series. If you really want to help your class, I'm going to give you the notes. And I know this would be a great blessing to you because, man, God bless my class. And I was just, I hate to say it, but greatly used of God. And I'm looking and I notice you're suffering a little in your class. So I thought, you know, maybe I could help. Wait a minute, you know what I'm doing? I'm going beyond my measure. I'm going beyond my measure. God gifted him particularly according to who he is. And God gifted me the same. I have no bragging rights on whatever God chooses to use in my life. He has no bragging rights on however God chooses to use his life. All of us ought to just say, praise Jesus. It's a wonderful day in the Lord. Whether your class had 3 in it or whether it had 50 in it, it doesn't matter as long as God used you. That's what matters. Letting God use you. But when I try to interfere in another person's, and here I'm, Brother Vestal, next time you sing, I notice that, you know, you're not smiling like you should. I just want to let you know that when you stand up here, you really should grin like this. And then he says, well, how do you do it, Pastor? And I said, oh, I don't sing. I don't have any gift in that. I just have the gift of telling everybody else how to do it. God's gifted me that way. I'm just really good at it. I don't know how to sing a special. I don't know how to lead the choir. I don't know how to play the piano. But I sure know how to tell everybody else how to do it. You see, what we're doing is we're going beyond. God sets the parameters of our measure, and it's for us. He does not give me what Brother Vestal ought to do. He gives me what Mike Mutchler ought to do. And God will give Chris Vestal what Chris Vestal ought to do. Thank you, Chris. You may be seated. So the parameters of our measure. We don't decide the boundaries of our measure. That's a God thing. God does that. I didn't say, I wasn't sitting in Arkansas and said, yeah, I sure would like to go to Portland, Oregon. Oregon. I think that's how God said it, Oregon. I got here and I got corrected. I said, you trying to correct God? But anyway, thank you, TJ. God sets the parameters. We don't decide the boundaries of our measure. We don't decide where we serve. That's a God thing. God moves us and God orchestrates all that. How could a guy that was raised up in Tennessee marry a girl that was raised up in Alabama? And how did God cross that together? How did God get Brother TJ from Michigan and Miss Sarah from Virginia and all that distance and put them in the same Bible college and pair them up? How'd God do that? How'd God get Brother Vestal from North Carolina and Kristen from Indiana and just have him go to a Bible college and they meet and Brother Vestal was dating someone else and happy with it and God said, no! I'm getting him in trouble tonight. But God said, no, that's not my plan. And so she breaks his heart. And then God brings Kristen into his life. How does God orchestrate all that? Hey, listen, all you have to do is yield your life to God. He's the orchestrator. He's the administrator. He's the one who sets the parameters of our life. He's the one that brings someone into our life at the right time. He's the one that puts us where we ought to go. He's the one that decides where we go to school and where we go to Bible college or where we go to college or what profession we're called to be in. And we pray about it. We pray about it. But we pray to get his mind. We don't pray to convince him of our mind. Oh, God, I really want to be a doctor. Oh, God. No, no. It's God, what do you want me to do? And if God says, I want you to be a doctor or a dentist or a janitor, it doesn't matter as long as it's what God wants. That's all that matters. Are we doing what God wants us to do? I don't care if someone thinks, oh, that's not a very important job. Well, it might not be to you, but it is to me because it's what God wants me to do. And that's the way you need to think about everything in your life. Are we living our life according to the measure God has for us? He sets those parameters. God's purpose sets our parameters. He says in verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. What's this whole measure about? It's for serving Christ. It's for reaching people, being a blessing to people, sharing the gospel to people. The purpose of our parameters. I'm trying to reach everybody in this area for Christ. I don't live in the Philippines. When I visit there, I want to see if I can lead some people to Christ. But I don't live there. If I go to another state and I'm there for a little while, I want to try to influence people for Christ. But I don't live there. But I do live here. And I know it's God's will for my life to try to influence people I come in contact with. And I come in contact with more people here because that's where God planted me. You see, God has a purpose, and that purpose is sharing the gospel. And by preaching the gospel, don't let that scare you. A lot of times when we look at preaching the gospel, we think of pulpiteering. Oh, here's a message, delivering a sermon. No, no, God's not calling you to get on a soapbox in the middle of the factory and let me preach. Turn your Bible to John chapter. No, that won't work. He's not talking about pulpiteering. He's talking about proclaiming the gospel. He's talking about sharing the gospel. It's talking about talking to someone about church, talking to someone about Jesus, talking to someone about God. It's just sharing. It's not 3 points in a poem. It's just, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus loves you. Let me tell you, Jesus died for you. Let me tell you, Jesus wants you in heaven. That's how much He loves you. He died for you. That's all preaching is telling somebody else about Jesus. And then notice, we don't go into another's parameter. In verse 15, not boasting of things without our measure, outside of our measure. I can't talk about that song that I sung. I didn't sing a song. I can't talk about that lesson I taught this morning. I didn't teach a lesson this morning. I can just talk about what God's doing in my heart, in my life. And that's the same all of us can do. Then notice, in verse 15, we have the profit of our measure. And in the last part of verse 15, it says, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Notice that our measure profits others. The gifts and calling of God that He has placed on your life is to profit others. He says here that your faith is increased. In other words, as I exercise the measure that God has given me, Paul says, your faith is increased. He's preaching to the church at Corinth. He said, when I do what God's called me to do, that's for your benefit. Your faith is increased. When you sing that song that God wants you to sing, it's to be a blessing to someone else. It's not for you to get a blessing. It's so someone else gets a blessing. When God allows you to give a gift, it's not so you get the blessing, it's to be a blessing. When God allows you to teach, it's not so you say, man, I felt good. No, it's so someone else gets blessed. Someone else gets ministered to. Someone else's faith gets increased. And so the measure that God has called us to is for others, not ourselves. Amen. And so there's a profit for others. But notice our measure also profits ourselves. Now, it's not our purpose, but it's always part of the final product. He says in verse 15, "But having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you." You know, the best way to spend your life is giving it away. And everybody you find, give a piece of your life. You spend a minute with John Hoxie, just try to pour your life into it. God bless you, brother. I love you. Proud of you. When you spend a little time with Brother Vessel, just try to pour some of yourself into his life. Don't say, "Let me tell you what God's doing in my life." No, let me just say, I believe God's using you. I believe God's blessing is on your life. I want you to know, I've noticed this, that God's really using you. Spend your life building up others. Now, here's what God does. After you spend your life helping others, you walk away, and God says, "Good job. Good job." Let me tell you, there's no better feeling in the whole world but what God says, "Good job. Good job. You poured yourself into others. You poured yourself into that lesson. You did your best. God used you. Good job." That's the way we want to live our lives, is for others. We shall be enlarged. And notice our measure also profits proportionately. In verse 15, it says, "According to our measure abundantly," or to our rule abundantly. And in other words, the more you give yourself to God's calling on your life, the more blessing you are to others, and the more blessing God gives to you. Remember what Jesus says, "He that loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall," what? "Find it." We live in a generation where everybody's trying to find their life. "Oh, I want to find my life." God says, "You want to find your life? Just give your life away. Just invest it in others. He that giveth his life for my sake and the gospel shall find his life." He also says in another place, "He that loses his life for my sake shall find it." See, when we get the focus off of ourselves and we put it on everybody else, God sneaks it in that we get the blessing too. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We get the blessing too. And it's just a wonderful thing to know that when you're not seeking God's blessing, but you're seeking to be a blessing, that God sneaks in his blessings and they just come from nowhere, and it's just a wonderful thing. You say, "I can't believe, I wasn't even expecting God to do that. Wow, look what God did." Because your focus was on others. And so we need to understand that the profit of our measure, the production of our measure in verse 16, "To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand." Notice this expanding measure. He says to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. Regions beyond. Here's what we're tempted to do. "Well, I've found the place God has for me. I've found what it is that God has for my life. I think I know the measure and the calling of God for my life." Okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Now increase it. Paul says, "Now I want to go to the regions beyond." Let me ask you this. When's the last time God stretched you? When's the last time God stretched your faith? Stretched your obedience? stretched your yieldedness? When's the last time God told you to do something you're totally uncomfortable with? He said, I want you to do that. And when's the last time you said yes when you wanted to say no, but you said yes? You see, we don't stay the same in the Christian life. Every once in a while, God wants to stretch us. Let me just say this about the Christian life. The only comfortable place for a Christian is heaven. That's right. Because on earth, the devil's fighting you and God is stretching you. The only comfortable place for a Christian is heaven. And so many Christians get so frustrated because they're just not comfortable. Well, I don't know why I'm not comfortable. I've been a Christian for 20 years. Bless God. I don't know why. Well, because first of all, the devil's fighting you. And the second reason is when the devil's not fighting you, God's still stretching you. I don't know about you, stretching's never been never seems to be a comfortable thing. For a while, my youngest son had this thing in the garage, and it's quite a contraption. It used to be, I think he sold it since then, but you just strap your ankles to it, and then you just flip it upside down. And he's showing me, and I said, oh, yeah, yeah. Want to do it? No. No, it doesn't look like any fun thing to me. Hang yourself upside down by your ankles? Have at it. Enjoy yourself, but not me. Well, yeah, but see, it stretches you out, and it lines your back, and it uses the weight, and it stretches you. That's good. You know what? I don't like to be stretched. I don't like that. But you know, as Christians, we're like that with God. We don't like that. God wants us to teach. Not me. God wants you to sing. Not me. God wants you to be in ministry. Not me. God wants you to go to college and be a professor and teach theology and serve your life for the cause of Christ and others. And you say, not me. But you see, when's the last time you've let God stretch your faith? You know, there's a lot of ways that God stretches our faith. A lot of times it's in our giving. A lot of times it's in our service. A lot of times it's in our soul winning. The Holy Spirit says, give a tract to that person. You say, oh, you know, look. I don't know them. That might be a mass murderer. I don't know who that is. But God wants to stretch your faith to do what He wants you to do. The production of our measure, expanding the measure, the regions beyond. Have you been stretched lately? And then finally, we see the pleasure of our measure in verse 17 and 18. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you and not to boast of verse 17. Let me read it. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. First of all, he says, let's glory in the Lord. Let's just glory in the Lord. Hey, if God's used you, glory in the Lord. And when it means glory in the Lord, it means put the glory on Him. Put the spotlight on Him, not on ourselves. Put God on the pedestal, not us. Let's glory in the Lord. And then he says, the pleasure comes when God says, well done. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. I asked this question just a little while ago. When's the last time you stretched yourself? When's the last time you've stretched yourself? Here's the next thing I want to ask. Brother John, would you stand up here a minute? When's the last time you've done your best? You've done your best. And I don't mean you were perfect at it, but you just did what you could do for Jesus. Maybe you just came to church, but you didn't just come to church. You greeted people. You tried to encourage people. You tried to shake hands with people. You tried to be a blessing to people. You didn't just come to sit and soak and sour. You came to sit and soak and serve. You came to be a blessing. I ask you first, when's the last time you felt yourself stretched and you've been stretched? But when's the last time you felt God say, good job. Good job. I'm proud of you. Good job. And you know, if you'll just do your best according to the measure God's gifted you, there'll be many times in your life when you're going home, you're tired, but you didn't just hear the sermon. You heard the sermon, but you were the sermon to somebody else's life. You were the message to somebody else's life because you didn't come just to give it to me. You came to serve and be a blessing to as many people as you could. And you go home a little emotionally drained perhaps, but you hear God say, you did good. You did good. When's the last time you felt God's commendation? Thank you, Brother John. Let me just say, all of us in here could brag on you, but that won't change your life. But when God says, you did good, that'll make your day. Let's live for His commendation, living up to our measure. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what the Apostle Paul was telling us and telling the Christians at Corinth and telling Christians now for all these generations. Holy Spirit, I don't know what you said to every heart. I know what you said to my heart as I studied this. And Father, I pray that your word will not return void. You promised it will not. I expect that it will not. I have no clue how you would use this in the lives of these dear people tonight, but I know that your word will be effective in all of our hearts. And Lord, no doubt there's some Christians who at this point in their life are being stretched. You've been speaking to their heart for maybe weeks, and you're trying to stretch them, and they're wondering why they're not comfortable. And Lord, there's some Christians in this room, maybe it's been a while before they felt that you did a good job. Lord, would you just love them and help them as they seek to fulfill the measure that you've placed on their lives. We love you, Lord. Minister to us as only you can, even in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.